When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Stardom Road here on the Countout Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards. And with me, as always, is Trent Brewer of multiple places, Wrestling, Monthly Puro, Sue. You know, the whole shebang.
Podcast Network.
I wasn't gonna present you from here, but yes, Trent is with me once again. Trent,
I got a ways to go to catch up to you. Yeah.
So you know, it's funny you bring that up because I forget who I was talking to about this. It was someone that had me. Oh, so I went on True Heel Heat, which, you know, lots of fun, had a good time on there, and they were going about like, what do you want us to say you're from? And I was like, what? they're like, do you want to say them all? I was like, I'll just do it. And you know, me, Trent, I say like none of them.
Yes, you get there and you're like, oh, that's right, I'm at this place and occasionally this place, and forget the important ones.
So I always like to bring up the story, though, is of course, I voted on the Voice of Wrestling Match of the Year thing, and I didn't realize I was like the only person to have like this big, huge, thick block of all the things. I was like, oh man, that's a.
You sound like stuff. A jackass.
Yeah, no, I sound like a jackass, look like a jackass, but that's okay. I am a jackass. Runs in the, I don't know.
Were you going to say family and then realize
that? No. I was going to say runs in the wrestling community, maybe.
I've given some of the arguments I've seen on Twitter lately. I'm not going to argue with you there.
But what we're here for today is to break down the history of the Cinderella tournament, folks. So I'm going to stop talking about me because I hate talking about me. We're going to stop talking about Trent because we didn't talk about Trent, but we're not going to talk about Trent. And we're going to get into the
Cinderella Trent story coming here.
No. He'll have plenty of thoughts, I'm sure, along the way. But the Cinderella tournament, of course, begins this weekend for Stardom. If you're listening to this many months down the road, then you can ignore that. But it is starting this weekend. So we thought it would be best to do a two-parter on the world and history of the Cinderella tournament, which is a long one, a one that, much like we've seen with the year-end climax, dramatically changed in a lot of ways. But this is not changed for the purpose of making it weaker. It's to make it bigger in a lot of ways, which we will get to. My best way of describing the Cinderella tournament to people is it is the most unique bracket style tournament in professional wrestling.
That seems fair because, like, it is one of those situations you look at bracket situations and they're not normally quite so condensed. You know, the closest is really, I guess, the Super J Cup at times, because that was often condensed into a single day tournament, but even that is very different. Stardom obviously had their affinity for over the top rope. It's very quick fire style, and the booking format of it is very much kind of a, we're going to present someone that we think is the future of this company. Very rarely are they really using an established person to kind of cement the Cinderella tournament and cement this person. It's all about, they're not quite there yet, but they're going to put on the Cinderella dress and now you're going to know they're important.
I think for new people that are listening to this, and you know, maybe they're accustomed to a certain way of thinking, but at one time, this was the premier tournament for Stardom. It wasn't the five-star Grand Prix. And of course, that has changed over time, with Stardom changing over time. The five-star has become the tournament for not only them, but for Joshi fans all around the world. But this tournament, it it can be one of the most exciting tournaments because of what you said, because it's to establish someone new, to, you know, raise someone that's in that mid card slash potential, like high potential spot, bring them to the main event. And, or, you know, whatever you prefer to call the Wonder of Stardom Championship in a lot of ways, because that often is a choice, but that's where we kind of go here. It's time to describe what you win when you win the Cinderella tournament, which of course is a wish. I think a lot of people don't know that, truthfully.
Well, why would you? Because it's not really brought up. Like, for the first few years, I think the wish aspect was emphasized a bit more, but now it's just kind of like, yeah, you're getting the title shot. Like, it's probably going to be the Wonder of Stardom Championship because the Cinderella tournament has become the Wonder Championship setup, just like the Five Stars become the world version of that. But I like the fact that you've got this little wish concept there. And technically, it doesn't have to be a title shot. Now, most wrestlers are going to want a title shot, but for the odd chance when maybe you've got a champion in the running or someone like Kagetsu, who is always a wild card, who wanted Izumi to join her group kind of thing, It adds some fun, and if they really wanted to go bold, it allows them to do some booking decisions that wouldn't make sense otherwise.
I remember a podcast I listened to when Stars was shooting with the waiter tie. They're like, oh, maybe they can use the wish on like ending the feud. Like, what if Mayu went just like, yeah, can we just stop? Can I stop losing members? That's my wish.
My wish is that Aweto Tai can't steal any of my crew for the next 6 months.
And I thought that was the funniest thing. I was like, technically, that could be something just based off the general rules.
Your wish could be that someone has to join your group.
That'd be crazy. But the history, of course, as we said, it has become mostly about the Wonder of Stardom Championship, but that wasn't the truth at the beginning. The first three winners all challenged for the World of Stardom title, and then, you know, as we hinted at, so on from there has been the Wonder of Stardom Championship. It has become the tournament for the Wonder, while the Five Star has become the tournament for the World. Unofficially, both of these are unofficial, mind you. You know, when you win the Five Star Grand Prix, you get a contract for any title you want. You don't get a contract just for the World of Stardom Championship, and that's how this wish works as well. And of course, you get a dress. The dress is a key part of the Cinderella tournament, or, you know, what would be the point of the name?
It's the iconic visage of this. Like, when you're picturing, like, the Five Star Grand Prix, you picture the red robe and you picture the crown. But with the Cinderella tournament, I think it's got a stronger visual imagery because of the connection to the Cinderella and the dress. Now, the dress has obviously changed over years to a certain extent, but even when it was at its most cheapest, if we're going to be honest, there's still something kind of unique and special about this because, yeah, typically when someone wins a tournament, they don't get to play fancy dress unless you're doing WWE and you have to change your gimmick to be king.
Right. And I think, you know, what's an interesting part of this is, you know, you talk about how the dress in a lot of ways is more known and more, it really captures you a bit more. And I think the only time we've ever considered the crown what's the thing called? What's the official name? We will call it a robe. I was trying to, it's like a cape type thing. Is the past 2 years, which I bring that up with, you know, saying it with in the past 2 years, which is funny because that is also where we've seen the Cinderella dress turn into a more magical, better quality.
Bushiroad's talking out for some better looking.
Fitting of the winner. So I think it's interesting that when, you know, one starts to become more prominent, the other one gets that lift up to keep it ahead of the other. But I think we should talk a little bit about the actual tournament now and not the what all you get when you win.
Because they're fashion, aren't we? Stardom Road's all about the catwalk road.
Of course. But there's always a journey to getting to that point. And the journey is what has changed the most throughout the years. as you know now, if you watch Stardom Now, the Journey is a multiple night tournament. The rules have stayed the same, and that's, you know, time limits, over the top rope, pin, submission. That has stayed the same. 10-minute time limit?
Yes, 10-minute
time. Still, we've stayed with at least for the first round. Mm. The finals is a no time limit final. So pretty much a real match, essentially. But that wasn't always that way, because the over the top rope was in play in the finals, you know, when this all began. And the most important change, as we said, like I was saying, is that now it's multiple nights. Now it's, you know, been made to sell tickets on four nights instead of one. Once upon a time, that's to play with the Cinderella theme, it was a one night tournament. And my biggest gripe, I think, is that we never got to see one of those live.
It is kind of funny, like the fact that they could do this as a one night spectacular and just sell it on pay-per-view and go nuts. We haven't really experienced that. It has always been on the old tape delay, wait for it to get uploaded on Stardom World. And that is kind of a shame, because I remember, like, the first couple of years I was following Stardom, you'd be kind of glued to Twitter and just waiting to see what the next round brought. It's like, oh, this person got eliminated, because the Cinderella tournament always has shocks. Yeah, whether it's the winner or whether it's someone in a big getting knocked out by someone you wouldn't expect, there's always a shock or two in the Cinderella. And it was exciting following along on Twitter. And it's a shame now that you get that gap in between. There are pros and cons of the one night versus the multi-night, but it is a shame that we can't properly compare it, because there is something special about watching as it's happening versus kind of knowing the results in advance, even if it's a one night versus four night.
Right, and now it's grown too. So while, you know, the one night factor we're talking about here, I think we can credit the one night factor even more to the fact that this tournament is a lot bigger nowadays.
Yeah,
we're up to what, 36? Is that the number? Yes,
36 is as of 2023.
Yeah, so we hit 36 competitors in this tournament, which of course is not just the roster. Example this year is X and double X. So. We don't have answers as of this recording. Now, I'm going to get pie in my face, and they're going to announce it over the weekend on their shows. But for now, X and double X plus outsiders like Tomoki Inaba, Nanai Takahashi. I'm not going to call Yuna Mizumori an outsider anymore. She's just on the roster. She goes to all the house shows. So
Haruko Masaki as well.
Right. Just forget that one. Anyways. We're going to go through the history now, and we're going to kind of look at how it's changed. I'm going to give you some times of how long matches lasted, some scenarios of how the tournaments changed throughout the night, and hopefully you'll get appreciation. And I guess this is an important part, too. This was all in Corican Hall.
Once upon that was the home of the Cinderella, basically, until they went to multi-night. And even then, they always make a point to do, like, the second and third round there. Even as Stardom continue to grow, that's an important venue. And there is something special about watching Cinderella tournament, especially in the Corican Hall vibe, because you've got the crowd there. They're really amped for it. They're the hardcore fans, pretty much anyone who rocks up at Corican. And so you do get that slightly special vibe.
You sure do. And I think we start all the way at the beginning, obviously, here with the, and mind you, everyone, the original name of this tournament was not the simple Cinderella tournament. No. It was the Ryogoku Cinderella Champions Fiesta 2015.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. It ended up being the Cinderella Champions Fiesta originally for the tournament. I think switching it to Cinderella tournament was a good decision. We're going to go through each decision that they made. That was one of their better decisions.
Yeah. Well, I will also point out, for those who, you know, we kind of skimped on the one night to multi-night a bit. We want to save that and cover that a bit more on the next episode. Because that kind of deserves time to properly dissect. So we will be touching on it here. We've already touched on it a bit, but if you want the full depth stuff, that's coming next time.
Yes, because we will give a full analyzation of how match quality changes, yep. how situations change.
And we have case studies.
We do. And we'll kind of hit that along the way here too. Because, you know, that's kind of how we're going to do the rundown. But let's start with Champions Fiesta 2015, which, of course, was the one-night tournament. So they start off just as is. First-round matches include Ryo Hazuki defeating Momo Watanabe, Starfire defeating Hatsunode Kamen. I definitely messed that up, and that's okay. I don't care. Chelsea defeating Chris Wolf. Kyori Oniyama and Kyoko Kimura going to a 10-minute time limit. Mayu Iwatani defeating Thunder Rosa. I think some people will hear that and be like, oh, okay. Kairi Hojo defeating Haruka Kato. And then in the quarterfinals, Mayu Iwatani defeated Starfire. Koguma defeated Ryo Hazuki. And Io Shirai defeated Chelsea. Heading to the semifinals, Mayu Iwatani defeated Io Shirai. That doesn't happen every day. Koguma defeating Kairi Hojo. That absolutely doesn't happen every day. And in the finals, Mayu Iwatani becoming the first ever Cinderella winner, winning the tournament 9 minutes and 47 seconds by defeating Koguma. Of course, we'll kind of dive into a little bit with Koguma later and on the next episode, that the Cinderella is low-key her tournament. But that, all those matches, right? The longest match was the time limit draw.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, it's a bit of a fuddled mess, if we're being honest. Now, they had 14 competitors for this, so it doesn't fit smoothly into a typical tournament structure. But yeah, you got people advancing in different stages and stuff. You will find this is not completely uncommon for the Cinderella tournament. You need like the bracket picture whenever you're diving into one of these to make sense of it sometimes, because it's never just smooth sailing.
Now, I will say that Mayu Iwatani did challenge for the World of Stardom Championship with her wish. I think that's worth noting here as we go along the way, kind of, because we said Wonder has become the belt, but you got to understand. And she lost, by the way. She lost to Kairi Hojo.
No one has won the red belt after winning the Cinderella tournament and challenging. It's been a very unsuccessful. Well, admittedly, it's been more people have lost in their challenges of either belt than have won. But the white belt has a slightly better ratio because people have won it from this.
Yeah, that's why they switched.
We can't do the red. Let's try. In a couple of years, they'll be trying for the high speed.
We had the Cinderella Tournament 2016, Cork and Hall, 1,050 people in attendance, starting with Jungle Kiona defeating Sayori Anu in the first round matchup. Of course, Trent has a big smile on his face. Santana Garrett defeating Alex Lee. Kyoko Kimura defeating Kaori Oniyama, getting payback for the previous year. That match went a total of 2 minutes and 5 seconds. So
they shortened that one down a bit.
A little bit. Kairi Hojo defeating Momo Watanabe. Mayu Iwatani defeating Hiromi Mimura. Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Kagetsu. And Queen Maya defeating Alpha Female. That truly sounds horrible.
That is like when I was going through this again, that was one of those, oh, hang on, what? That's a very interesting matchup, but not necessarily in the best way.
No. Io Shirai defeated Diosa Etania. Almost got me. Almost turned me out. And then we head to the quarterfinals. Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Jungle Kiona in 2 minutes and 25 seconds. Mayu Iwatani defeating Queen Maya. Kairi Hojo and Santana Garrett going to a 10-minute time limit draw. And Io Shirai versus Kyoko Kimura ending in a double DQ, which by default moved Mayu Iwatani and Hiroyo Matsumoto to the finals. So a good way to cheat there and get them both to the finals in very quick fashion.
Rossi's got one eye on the watch going, no, I want to get out to some teppanyaki tonight.
With Mayu Iwatani defeating Hiroyo Matsumoto in 13 minutes and 19 seconds via win over the top rope to win back-to-back Cinderella tournaments just to go on to challenge for the World of Stardom Championship and lose.
Yes, again. That tournament set up a couple of title matches because obviously Corey Hojo came out and challenged Santana Garrett afterwards after their draw for the Wonder of Stardom Championship as well.
And now is that this win is the only time someone's won twice?
Yes. Yeah. Maya's the only tournament? One to have won twice.
No, but I mean any tournament. Any within Stardom major tournament. Yeah, within Stardom.
I mean, you've got like Nanai Takahashi, who's won multiple Goddess of Stardom tournaments now on her own. In terms of the major singles ones, yes. Right.
Yeah, so big deal there. Not that she, had success challenging, but we move on. As you all could tell, the fun part, and I say this in quotations, of one night tournaments is that they're very quick. Right now, this is kind of why you sometimes wish you could see it live at the time, because like you said, the excitement of seeing someone eliminated via Twitter was a different rush back in the day, but we never
kids had these days will never understand what we had to go through.
Yeah, kids these days will never know. Let's kick it to 2017. 1,150 people in attendance, so I think it's worth noting the number keeps going up for the Cinderella tournament. Yeah.
Because, I mean, these weren't like the big drawing days for Stardom necessarily. So, them consistently getting 1,000 in there during this period is pretty good.
Hazuki defeated Jungle Kiona. Jessica Havoc defeated Natsuko Tora. Tessa Blanchard defeated Chris Wolf. Kagetsu defeated Konami. Mayu Yutani defeated Hedza. Tony Storm defeated Rebel. Kairi Hojo defeated Hiromi Mimura. Io Shirai defeated Hana Kimura. Heading to the quarterfinals now. Tony Storm defeated Tessa Blanchard. Hazuki and Kairi Hojo wrestled to a 10-minute time limit draw. Mayu Yutani defeated Kagetsu. Io Shirai went to a draw with Jessica Havoc, resulting in a final of Tony Storm defeating Mayu Iwatani in 13 minutes and 1 second.
Once again, they skip basically an entire round here to jump to the final. And this is also kind of a very key moment in terms of the record books, because Tony Storm would also go on to win the 5-star Grand Prix in the same year, which is something that has not been done yet either.
Disgusting. The only person to do it was
and one of only three to win both tournaments.
Yep. That is true, Trent. Unfortunately, that is true. But we move again forward to 2018, 987 in attendance at Korakuen Hall. Momo Watanabe defeating Konami in the first round match. Saki Kashima defeating Candy Floss. Bea Priestley defeating Martina. Brandi Rhodes.
Oedo Tai member Brandi Rhodes
defeating Natsu Sumire. Hazuki defeating Hana Kimura. Mayu Yutani defeating Tam Nakano. Io Shirai defeating Chardonnay. Jungle Kiona defeating Kagetsu, dead to the quarterfinals. Bea Priestley defeated Hazuki. Mayu Yutani defeated Saki Kashima. Io Shirai defeated Brandi Rhodes. Thank God. Momo Watanabe defeated Jungle Kiona. Big shock there. Io Shirai and Mayu Iwatani went to a time limit draw. No shock, stunned, bamboozled that we were able to skip an entire semifinal match, leading to a finals between Momo Watanabe and Bea Priestley, with Momo Watanabe going on to win the tournament and become the first person to challenge for the Wonder of Stardom Championship and the first person to win the Cinderella tournament and go on and win the title.
And this was the beginning of the young ace period for Stardom and for Momo Watanabe. When people look back on the quote-unquote glory days for Momo, it pretty much starts right here.
You got me there, because I think about anytime Momo gets a match, just remember this is when it all started. This is when, and I want to remind people, she went on to win the Wonder Stardom title, and then people didn't like her. Okay, everyone know that people got sick of her title reign. I know, I know we're living through the same thing as Saya Kamatani. I understand that. I understand that. But I just wanted to point that out, because for all the people that complain and are upset that Momo Watanabe doesn't get the big one now, just remember there were many people back then hating that she was champion for as long as she was.
Yep. Not pointing any fingers except the ones right back at me.
Including Trent, because Jungle Kiona never got the dub. Anyways, we move forward.
Only reason.
No, but it's a pretty big reason. And I think looking at that, I think that was kind of the shift for the Cinderella tournament as a whole. Not only because they switched it to the Wonder and Momo won, but it really did feel like the ultimate elevation in a lot of ways. Sure, Toni Storm got elevated, but she would go on to win the 5-star later. Mayu is Mayu, right? So this was the big, okay, we have, you know, this literal teenager, and she's going to not only go win, but she's going to challenge Io Shirai and kind of get a passing of the torch moment, which is kind of the theme we'd see moving forward.
Yeah, this was a very important moment in terms of the context of the Cinderella tournament, because it really did establish this is where you can make that next big leap. And, you know, Momo Watanabe, as much as like I might not be her biggest fan, this was a perfect sort of escalation for her. Because early in the year, she had tried to challenge Io for the white belt. She had lost there. And, you know, it was clear, okay, she needed to do something else to take that next step. This was that next step. You know, the one thing the one night tournament structure really does well is it, you know, it elevates someone off having survived three or four matches in one night, however short or long they might be, in order to get there. It proves something about a wrestler. This is what it did for Momo. She came back. She beat Io Shirai. Passing was a torture, she said, because Io Shirai at this stage was meant to be leaving. And yeah, it was really good for Momo, and you see it be used in this way moving forward.
It is worth noting, this is when Io actually did leave.
Yes.
The year prior.
She tried once before.
She tried. She failed. So she had to stay and get a year-long title reign out of it. So that's how that works. Anyways, 2019, kind of touched on this in the previous episodes. If you listen to the recent Cheeky series, but Cinderella Tournament 2019 first round match, Azumi defeating Rebel Kel, Starlight Kid defeating Natsu Sumire, kind of the start of Starlight Kid just getting upsets. That kind of became her thing for a few years there. Hazuki defeating Bea Priestley, Arisa Ishiki defeating Saki Kashima, Hana Kimura defeating Andras Miyagi, Kagetsu and Tam Nakano going to a 10-minute time limit draw. Very good match, by the way. If anyone wants to go check out something from one of these
tournaments. One of the best matches from all of these tournaments.
Yes. Natsu Katora defeating Jungle Kiona. Konami defeating Momo Watanabe. Laugh at me now. which I think but to put into perspective, at the time, Momo, of course, won the Cinderella the year prior, and she's the reigning Wonder of Stardom champion.
Yeah, she's held that championship for a year, and the structure of the Cinderella tournament allows for a big name to lose early or a champion to get shocked. It's not an indictment of where Momo was at this point. That would come for another year.
Wasn't B also champion at this point?
Yeah, that was during a red belt reign, I'm pretty
Both
sure.
Champs out first round. Big deal. If it wasn't Bea at the time, Kagetsu was also out the first round.
Yeah.
There's your official facts, just in case, my backup. Starlight Kid would defeat Hazuki in 1:19. I always like to toss those types of things in there. Konami defeated Azumi. Natsuko Tora defeated Hana Kimura. And of course, Arisa Ishiki got through the semifinal automatically because of the Kagetsu Tam Nakano draw.
Mm-hmm.
So Arisa Ishiki would defeat Natsuko Tora in the semifinal, and Konami would defeat Starlight Kid in the semifinal. Yes, folks, everyone that's been picking Starlight Kid to win this goddamn tournament for years, she already has a semifinal match to her name, folks. Just want everyone to know that. And in the finals, Arisa Ishiki would defeat Konami to win the tournament. Of course, I think truthfully, Arisa Shiki in the Cinderella dress is probably the most iconic image from this tournament that we've seen. Like, I think that's the one everyone thinks about when they think of this tournament. And this was, as we've talked about in past episodes, the crowning moment of, okay, Risa's finally here. She's going to take the belt from Momo, and she's going to go on the incredible run that she would.
Hot take. This is the best Cinderella tournament, both of the ones we've talked about and the ones that have happened.
Yeah, I think I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's pretty universally agreed.
Well, I mean, admittedly, I don't spend a lot of time discussing the intricacies of Cinderella tournaments.
Well, you said hot take.
Well, I feel like a lot of people might look at the multi-day tournaments and say, well, you get better matches.
People like the multi-day tournament.
I think people like the concept of the Cinderella tournament in general more than the actuality.
That's 100% true. I like the Cinderella tournament because I like the surprise and stuff. But I think now people want the more match quality than the actual surprises. And I think that's why people don't love it as much. Because I think the reason people are so excited for it this year, for example, there's a lot of good first round matches.
Yeah.
So in 10 minutes or so, you can get something really good. But I think people also forget that there's going to be the teases of over the top rope and stuff like that. That's really what these tournaments are all about. It's like a Royal Rumble half the time. It truthfully is, because you're dealing with the whoa teases, and those can make the match so much greater. It's just sometimes I think they don't know how to use that to their advantage. They almost focus on it too much. Kind of like a Royal Rumble,
it's an easy way to build tension. Yeah, if you've got both wrestlers or one wrestler nearly being eliminated, you've got that inbuilt tension. Whereas if you're in the middle of the ring, even if you're struggling to get up, you kind of know whether someone's going to get pinned or not based on how long in the match, the move that got hit. But anyone can kind of get eliminated in these situations, if for nothing else, because they might lose their grip. We've seen people in the Royal Rumble lose their grip, Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's very possible someone accidentally loses balance and they're eliminated when they shouldn't have been. But yeah, these matches are 10 minutes max. Half the time is spent teasing over the top rope eliminations generally. These are, it would be cool if we saw X versus Y. Mm-hmm. And then after the show, it's like, wouldn't it be cool if we actually saw X versus Y?
Yeah, I think, and this is kind of how we talk about the tournament, because now that we're in 2019 and going into 2020, I think that's kind of the perfect breaking point now to kind of talk about all this, is that you almost always get one really good match, and that's usually the draw.
Yeah.
Almost always the draw, right? Because and now since it's different, I think we always do get good matches because it's extended through the days. But I'm talking, you know, that first round early stuff, because that's kind of the only way we can compare anymore. You almost always get one really good match. Like last year, 2022, was Utami and Tam, for example. Mm. They had a really good draw. We were just talking about Kagetsu and Tam. This 2020 was Hana and Mayu. And then
Io Shirai versus Mayu was another great
draw. Io Shirai versus Mayu. Thank you. So yeah, so like that's kind of where you get your really good match. And then everything else is about the surprise, about the moment. And I think if you go into it knowing that, you won't be disappointed, but you'll just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah. This isn't the five-star Grand Prix. It's a fun, whether it was one night or multi-night, it's a fun sort of alternate universe look at how wrestling can kind of be.
Yeah.
And it's a great teaser for what can come.
And we'll talk about it maybe on the next episode, maybe at the end of this one, I don't know yet. Kind of about your favorite look at the tournament, would you change it? We'll probably do that more next episode when we go through and kind of give you our thoughts on what we prefer between the two. But let's continue here, 2020. Of course, this was COVID.
Yeah, this is the weirdest thing because it's COVID, but cheering was still allowed.
Either.
Yeah.
The tournament didn't matter in the end, which I'll talk about. So it's funny because if you go on like stuff, they'll say it didn't matter. It didn't matter. None of it mattered. Unfortunately.
But also, this is the first time any of the tournament has been live streamed. The first round was aired live on YouTube for free. As a hard cam. It wasn't the structure they use now.
It was better than nothing.
It was. And yeah, you got to see these matches in live. Yeah. Not that I think there was one or two kind of surprises to an extent, but you got to experience them live.
Yeah. So you have Momo Watanabe defeating Starlight Kid, Julia defeating Jungle Kiona, Konoha. I couldn't keep it in. It's just so funny. I feel like I've said that like four different times. Konami defeating Azumi. Shuri defeating Jamie Hayter. Look at that. Look at that. All the people that's crying for the Jamie Hayter versus Stardom matches. You can go back on Stardom World to watch them, you nerds. Anyways, Tam Nakano defeated Saki Kashima. Natsuko Tora defeated Saya Kawatani. Micah and Utami Hayashishiya went to a 10-minute time limit draw. Hanakamura and Mayu Iwatani went to a draw as well, as they both fell over the top rope.
That was a draw double elimination setup.
That unfortunately was also Hanakamura's final match. Mm. So, not to ruin the situation, but I did want to just point that out.
Yeah, it was very good to lift the mood up a little bit as well. That Momo Watanabe versus Starlight Kid match was also really, really good in terms of this kind of structure.
Yeah, those two are really good at this match. And we'll talk about it in 2021 as well, because they did it again. But they are so good at doing the teases and stuff to enhance the match. And it's when I watch matches like that, I'm like, the tournament could just be like this at all times if everyone knew how to work those in. But it probably helps that you have multiple matches against each other through the years.
Yeah, and you've got two of the best workers. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Momo Watanabe, you can reliably know she's going to put on one of the best matches of the night.
That's true. Julia in the quarterfinals defeated Momo Watanabe. Shuri defeated Konami. And that moved us to the semis because, of course, two draws in the first round. So Natsuko Tora defeated Tam Nakano. And Julia defeated Shuri to set up a final where Julia defeated Natsuko Tora in 12 minutes and 41 seconds. And when I said this didn't matter, people, it's because, of course, Risa Shiki would unfortunately have to drop the belt due to injury, making it vacant. And that would lead to a mini tournament to crown a new champion. Instead of just giving the belt to Julia because she won a tournament to get a shot at the belt, she had to win another tournament to get the shot at the belt. She'd go on to defeat Tam Nakano at Cinderella Summer in Tokyo to become the new champion.
That whole tournament was hilarious because you had Natsuko Tora challenging because, you know, she made the final of the tournament and she was scheduled to face Arisa Hoshiki. You had Tam Nakano, who had so much history with Arisa and the white belts, so it was logical that she would insert herself there. And then you had Konami, who's just kind of like, hey, you got three people for a tournament? Nah, let's have a fourth. That was basically the reason she joined in this.
She was a finalist the year before. that's about all I can give you.
And that's what you call clutching at straws.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's against Risa Shiki, so even more. Thank you. Thank you. Hmm. You're welcome, everyone.
This was the awkward period of the COVID and losing multiple big names.
Yes. Yes, it was. So let's kick it to 2021 when the tournament was turned on its head, changing it for, I don't know. I'm not going to say better or worse. It depends on your opinion.
That's a spoiler for next time.
It's really, it comes down to opinion too, but let's talk about it. 2021 first round. This was at Cork and Hall 606, of course, a COVID filled.
Yes, COVID restricted.
Yes, so. Very unfortunate, but Himeka defeated Hanan, Micah defeated Konami, Unagi Sayaka defeated Natsuko Tora, Rina defeated Azumi, Starlight Kid defeated Momo Watanabe. Like we said, they had another very good match, best match of the first round, in my opinion, that year. Did I watch this live? I must have. Did I? I feel like I did. I definitely did. Did it air live?
I'm 90% sure it did.
It was in Cork and Hall, so I don't know for sure if it did. So that's why I asked.
Maybe not.
Maybe it did.
Last year, 2022 definitely did. But
I feel like I watched it unspoiled because I remember watching it and be like, oh my God. But whatever. That defeats the purpose.
We do so much research.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we don't. Listen, people. Listen, people. We are giving you the results. We are giving you the history. We are not giving you exactly what happened in every match. And we're not giving you exactly if it was aired on pay-per-view or not. I can tell you what 2022 was.
Yes.
You're welcome. Anyways, let me move ahead here. Mayu Iwatani defeated Fuki Gedeth. Julia defeated Ruaka. Utami Hayashida defeated Mina Shirakawa. Saya Kawatani defeated Tam Nakano. And Shuri defeated Natsupoi. That was also a decent match. It was not like great, but it was decent.
That whole first round, like you just look at the names in that tournament compared to the previous years, it shows how much Stardom adapted in the space of a year.
That, but also I think for me, showed how much they had to believe in young talent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there was a lot of rookies in there, a lot of brand new names who just got there. And that goes with, of course, what you said, but what we talked about in 2020, where they lost a lot of big names. So they were still cycling people and creating people. And, of course, 2021 would go on to be maybe their most incredible year yet. You know, some say 2022, I'm sure. 2021 just felt like we're here.
Yeah.
Deal with it type thing.
2022 proved what 2021 did.
Exactly. Exactly. So we go to the second event. I think this was a month later. Am I wrong?
No, it was a really weird schedule.
Yeah, so the first event was on April 10th. The second event, so we went a whole month, wasn't until May 14th. Yeah. We went an entire month without any Cinderella. We just kept doing shows in the middle of it. And it was very weird. So this involved a future Stardom title match on the show. Had, you know, random fatal four-way, six-person tag. You know, why not? But it went to Saya Kamatani defeating Starlight Kid in a quarterfinal match. Micah defeating Julia with that, that with the brain buster onto the...
Yes, it is.
Onto the ring post.
The busts are open, yeah.
Yeah, because Julia was bald.
Yep. It really highlighted that.
Yes, Shuri defeated Utami Hayashida, which of course would give us the match of Stardom's history. This is the big one. This is the one that had to happen for that to get us there. Because the whole story for that, and I'm not going to focus on the match, but the whole story was Shuri was going to win the tournament so that she could challenge Utami. Utami said she was going to win the tournament so she could challenge Shuri. And ultimately, neither of them won the tournament. Shuri just beat Utami, and that was how we got there.
Yeah, and it didn't matter. Like, Utami was already calling Shuri as the next champion, even though the eventual winner of the Cinderella tournament could have been like, hey, I have a wish here, and it's for those two not to be challenging.
They have a fun relationship.
They do.
led to Himeka defeating Mayu Iwatani, and in the main event, the big shock, another quarterfinal match. I may add Shuri and Utami was a second round match because the tournament was really unique that year. That was also the year they didn't release the bracket.
Yeah.
I specifically remember that. I was like, how am I supposed to predict any of this? And that would lead to Unagi Sayaka eliminating Shuri over the top rope to keep her. This was when Unagi was starting to finally win after getting her ass beat in her trial series.
Yeah, she finally won a big match with the Rumble at the All-Star Dream Cinderella just before this.
Oh, I thought you were gonna keep talking.
No.
Okay. That will all
moving forward.
And that will kick us to Tokyo Dream Cinderella. Not a Cinderella tournament final. It's just Tokyo Dream Cinderella, which is a show has not remembered for the finals of the Cinderella tournament, is remembered for one of the highest rated women's matches in the history of pro wrestling, if we go by a Dave Meltzer scale. But I'm not even going to go by a Dave Meltzer scale. I'm just going to go by a scale of everyone that watched the match.
Yeah.
This was the match that put Stardom on the map to those who weren't paying attention. Of course, Utami and Shuri double KO, 43 minutes and 19 seconds in the main event. All right, got that out of the way. Now we'll get back to Cinderella. We had two semifinal matches, Micah defeating Nagi Sayaka, and Saya Kamatani defeating Himeka. So there you go. And that would leave us with the final, the golden rivalry, one-on-one, Saya Kamatani defeating Micah to win the tournament. Of course, as we know, Saya would do pretty well for herself, but she did lose to Tam Nakano in her challenge. This was the first failure in challenging for the Wonder of Stardom title, but it worked out for Saya in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, this is it was the precursor in a lot of ways to her eventual success. And I think the other thing worth mentioning here is with the structure of the tournament changing, the winner could go back and actually take a breath and have a quick shower and pretty themselves up before coming back out with the dress. Saya Kamatani, especially because she had 43 minutes and 19 seconds, or however long it was, worth of main event in between her winning the Cinderella tournament and her coming out in the dress, which I think is, like, in terms of the changes and stuff, this is a good change.
Yeah, we got the official emerald green dress fitting of Saya Kamatani. I remember, like, the reactions that night. Well, everyone had to get over the match that happened before. But after that happened, everyone was like, oh, my God. Like, holy, like, it was unbelievable in a lot of ways because it was like, we got so used to this, you know, cruddy blue dress. And now, you know, this not only matches her, but it was like a real gown. And, you know, it kind of made her feel like a superstar. Felt like it. And I think that's the important part of the new gowns is that it felt like that elevation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the other wrestlers have been elevated through the tournament. Momo Watanabe is a great example, Julia as well. But like you see Momo Watanabe in her Cinderella dress, and it is kind of that, I don't want to say dorky, but it doesn't have the elegance and it doesn't scream superstar like the champions would in the Bushiroad era.
Exactly. At least
from 2021, I should say.
Exactly. So we kick into 2022, of course, our most recent tournament, where we now have kind of the current version. I think this is more fitting of what the current version is than the others, because this was the big bracket. This was the, we have a million matches in one night. You're going to watch it. You're going to deal with it. That's what we have this coming weekend, of course. So that's kind of the way I look at it. This is like this was the official transformation more than anything else, in my opinion.
And they were able to work the schedule a bit better too, so you didn't have that month gap. And that's, yeah, I think you look at 2022 and the 2023 schedule, it makes a lot more sense and it's easier to get invested because you're not waiting a month in between rounds.
Right, exactly. They're going bang, bang, bang now, which is preferable. So we had Nagi Sayaka defeating Hina, Saki Kashima defeating Wakasukiyama, Micah defeating Hanan, Mirai defeating Mina Shirakawa, Mayu Iwatani defeating Momokogo, Natsupoi defeating Starlight Kid. That was the bracket breaker for everyone that was watching back then. That was that was the one that smashed the bracket.
Put your hands up if you had Starlight Kid going beyond the first round. Everyone put your hands down now.
I like doing the recent ones because I remember these vividly as I sat there and said, what? Tam Nakano and Itami Hayashida went to a 10-minute time limit draw. That's, like I said, that was a really good match between those two. Kind of left us all wishing they had a world title match or something. We never got it. Micah and Saya Kamatani went to a draw. They're both over the top rope eliminations. Mai Sakurai defeated Lady C. Saya Iida defeated Rina. Koguma defeated Fukigen Death. Himeka defeated Raka. Hazuki defeated Miyu Amasaki, who, like, just debuted. Like, this was, like, maybe her second or third match. Like, it wasn't many. Julia defeated Tekla. Azumi defeated Momo Watanabe. And Shuri defeated Ami Sarai in Ami Sarai's debut match.
Yep.
In Star.
And the debut of God's Eye.
And the debut of God's Eye. That was the more telling part of this entire show was that
you could tell it was
official new faction.
Yeah,
we had an official new faction, which
and it was a good introduction for Ami Sarai. Like, you know, whether you're a big fan of her now or not, like, this was a good introduction to what she was capable of.
Yeah, so we kick it to the next event, which was at the Edeon Osaka Arena, number 2, on April 10th. Two matches were on the show. We had 2 second-round matches because it had that inner, like, those inner tournament matches that you'll see this year as well. Hazuki defeating Azumi, which was really good. And it was 5 minutes. It was really good. Big shock between those two. And Himeka and Shuri going to a time limit draw, which would lead to Himeka's world title match.
At the Cinderella tournament final.
At the Cinderella tournament final, which will be a key part, kind of looking at it this year, especially. Because we don't really know with the timing how that's going to work. Because
yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
Is 10 days, or I think it's 10 days before All-Star Grand Queendom. So, yeah, that's important. We're not going to act like I didn't know the name of the show. Anyways, we had more second round and quarterfinal matches here. This was on April 17th in Corken Hall. 1,151 people in attendance. So back to big time numbers after a long time out.
That's really impressive because this is not like the finals or anything. This is just in the middle of the tournament.
And this is why they extended the tournament like they did, folks.
Ding, ding, ding.
Tickets to be sold.
And pay-per-views as well.
And this is very true. I don't know if this one was a pay-per-view.
No, this one wasn't, but they're doing first night last night. And right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Saeeda defeated Mai Sakurai. Natsupoi defeated Nagi Sayaka. That was the big shock.
That was the one which got the talk coming around Bushiroad, allegedly changed the result of this one.
Yes, because it felt like Unagi was kind of destined for another semifinal, maybe a final. Instead, Natsupoi got it. And we've seen Natsupoi rise up, and we've seen Unagi leave the company. So
maybe Bushiroad made the right call.
Could be connected. I don't know. Never will know. And I don't need to know, personally. They're both doing very well now, so that's all that matters. Koguma beating Julia. Saki Kashima defeating Mayu Iwatani in
match of the tournament.
17 seconds. That's 5 stars right there, folks. That's your 5-star Cinderella tournament match. You want a 5-star Cinderella tournament match? There it is. And then Koguma defeating Saeeda in the quarterfinals, and Mirai defeating Saki Kashima in the main event to set us up for the final night, which, of course, would be a big pay-per-view that featured, like Trent said, Shuri and Himeka in the main event. And this is why we have no idea how they're going to play it this year, because, like we said, 10 days ahead of that tournament, how is it going to come down? We'll have to wait and see. But final night, Koguma defeating Hazuki. Another big, big shock. Because at this time, people, no one had a clue. And listen, I give Trent credit. He had Mirai far.
I had her in the finals.
He didn't have Mirai winning.
No.
Which,
but I had her in the finals, which I was very proud about.
Yeah, we give you big credit for that one. Who'd you have winning?
Himeka. And then when she got knocked out, I was Hazuki, like pretty much everyone else at this stage.
Yeah, so at this point, everyone's like, ah, Hazuki's going to win, get the Wonder of Charm title match. And she didn't. She lost to Koguma. Koguma in her second Cinderella, getting back to the finals. And then Mirai defeated Natsupoi. And that led us to the final match, where Mirai defeated Koguma to become the Cinderella. I was clapping all the way through that tournament. Never did I think she was going to win. I will admit that here and now. But I was very happy she won. And now we're sitting here, you know, a year later, and we're wishing she was going to win this one instead, because I think she'd be primed to win the title.
This one really a funny set thing. Her up. Like, we talk about the Cinderella tournaments of establishing the next kind of year's big sort of names. And Mirai obviously had a championship in her first month in the company, but it felt like this was the moment when they're like, no, this is someone we're making a big deal, because the Cinderella tournament, you look at its previous winners, all of them have gone on to win championships, maybe not straight after the tournament, but all of them basically a year later have held a top title. And I think we look at Mariah now and go, yeah, this is why.
Yeah, this was the ultimate elevation. Yes. This felt more like an elevation than any of the, and people may disagree with me, but it's because of what they were willing to do with it. Mm. Everyone else, in a lot of ways, you know, they felt like parts of the roster or they were destined to do it. We knew they were going to do it.
They made sense.
This was Rossi Ogawa, Stardom saying, not only are we going to gamble, we're going to make a superstar out of someone that, you know, came over, you know, she had a world title match right out the gates. Some mm-hmm. people definitely disagree. I'm talking to someone that wasn't, you know, all board on that. And it took a while for people to get on board with Mariah. I know Trent's not alone in that. It took a while. But this tournament and the title match she'd have with Saya Kamatani, that's really when she started to win the people over that weren't on her train. And now we're sitting here recording this on, you know, March 17th, 2023. Shocker. There you go. Spoiler. We recorded it a few days ago. And we want Mariah to be world champion, Wonder of Stardom champion. That's when the ultimate
champion, goddess of Stardom champion.
This is true. We want her to have a goddamn belt. Okay. And she's come up short a lot.
Yes.
She is challenged for every title she could possibly challenge for outside of the high speed. And she's not technically a high speed wrestler, so I'll act like she doesn't qualify, essentially. And the SWA doesn't exist, so don't say a word. But she's challenged for everything. And not only has she lost, she's almost always been the person losing. We just saw it right in the Goddesses of Stardom title match / Triangle Derby finals, where she got pinned by Suzu Suzuki. Yeah. So, again, kind of play to that. But that is your rundown of the history of the Cinderella tournament, all the changes. Next episode is kind of where we will dive into our more so our opinions on the tournament as a whole. By exploring the one night and the multiple night tournament via Mayu Iwatani's second win and Mirai's win. So
yeah, this is going to be the most recent Stardom stuff that we're going to actually have covered on Stardom Road so far.
So far. So
yeah.
And if you're listening to this 3 months, 4 months down the road, doesn't matter to you. Maybe we're lying now at this point. But we definitely are, because I know for one episode we definitely are. But that's fine.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap it up here. Call it now.
But why aren't we covering the first year for Mayu Iwatani? Tell us, Scott. Why wouldn't
we
do the first and last?
It's not on Stardom World. And trust me, everyone, I tried. I tried to find that damn tournament. I could not do it. It's nowhere to be found. I cannot watch the Fiesta. Yeah. All right, bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This has been a Countout Podcast.